Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have another F3 dude on the podcast, and I'm really excited about this. Got to know this guy once again during the Blue Ridge Relay, and this guy is awesome. You guys are really going to enjoy it. So we're going to bring Funny Car on. Funny Car, are you ready to go for a little run?
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
You bet. For those of you who don't know, Funny Car has introduced me to probably about four or five of the guests that we've had on the podcast. So I think he knows everybody in the state of Virginia. I'm not quite sure if that's actually true, but it seems that way. Do you know everybody in Virginia?
Not quite everyone, but I'd like to get out and meet people and do some network, and so it pays off.
That is amazing. Well, Funny Car, tell us a little bit about yourself, including your name when you're not at F3 events. Are you married? What do you do for a living? What do you do when you're not out doing all these F3 events?
Yeah, my name's Bill Pollard. My nickname growing up was Bebo. I was a junior, so my dad would call me Billy, Billy Boy, and somehow Bebo stuck. So I'm called both Dad and Bill. But I grew up in Petersburg, Virginia, played a lot of sports, big basketball player, soccer player, went to Virginia Tech in the early 80s, played soccer for 2 years at Tech and enjoyed being a Hokie, and graduated in 86 and got a job in Sovereign Bank as a commercial banker. And I've been a banker since then. I think this is my 38th year, mostly a commercial banker, and met my wife Lou in 1990 in the Richmond area. She grew up in Suffolk. I grew up in Petersburg, and in the early 90s, we relocated to Hampton Roads and have lived in either Portsmouth, North Suffolk, or now we live in the Western Branch area of Chesapeake. And we have one daughter, Betsy, who is quite a runner. She was really involved with Tidewater Striders. And we moved to Western Branch so she could run for the Western Branch track team. They had a coach named Coach Tucchini, who was an awesome high school track and field coach. I think he won 28 state championships.
Wow.
In girls and boys track and field. So she was a mid-distance runner. 800 was her favorite. And when she was at Western Branch, she was on six state championship teams. That's how good they were.
Wow, and that's amazing. In 3 years of high school?
Huh?
Or 4 years of high school?
Three years. Yeah, it's indoor, wow. Indoor girls, outdoor girls for 3 years.
That's amazing.
And then she went to Campbell in North Carolina to went to run, got injured her freshman year during training, never ran. Then COVID happened, so she just gave it up. But now she's in her second year at Campbell, where she's actually her sixth year at Campbell, her second year in the physician assistant program that she'll graduate in July. And so that's pretty much just that part. I won't get into the other stuff running yet. I've been a good life and a good career. I'm 61, so I don't know how much longer I have at it, but it's been good to me. And you know, got a supportive wife and daughter.
Awesome. You should tell your daughter to come out and run Cape Fear 24 hours sometime.
Yeah, she's not a long distance runner. She's actually just starting to run again a little bit, but she was a pretty good 800 and mile runner.
Well, it's only a 0.62 mile loop, so she can just pretend it's a short track.
Yeah, she's in the basement of a house that's on the Cape Fear River. Right, in Bowie's Creek. So she sees it from her bedroom window. She sees the Cape Fear.
That's awesome. That is cool. Well, tell us a little bit about, I know you were a runner in the past and everything, but tell us about how you got introduced to F3 and how this has impacted your life.
Okay, well, I'll begin a little bit before that, if that's okay.
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm out. Growing up, I played a lot of, you know, basketball once I got out of college. And, you know, I was running in my 20s. I think I did two Richmond half marathons, and I would run with a bunch of buddies a few times a week at lunch. And then in my 30s and 40s, I sort of got away from running, put on more pounds than I needed to, you know, got involved with work, raising a family. I was really involved with Rotary, the service organization, so that took a lot of my time. So I put on, and you know, I just wasn't in in good shape. And F3, we call that a sad clown, someone who just sort of loses focus on connecting with other guys and exercising. So probably in 2012, I met a buddy who had lost a lot of weight, and he did this boot camp with this guy, a 6-week boot camp, and it was workouts and running every day, and it was a pretty intense protein diet for 6 weeks. And that 6-week period, I lost almost 40 pounds.
Wow.
And I got in shape. So that was 2012. So I was probably 49. Yeah, I was 49. And I started running. You know, I wanted to keep the weight off. You know, I'm not the best eater. You know, I like to snack and not always eat healthy. So I started running, you know, probably 5 days a week. I'd run when I'd come home. And I wasn't a long distance. I wasn't an ultra runner, but I, you know, enjoyed running. And then in 2014, at this point, I was 50, and I attended a work seminar, and we had a cardiologist speak about heart health. And he talked about this test called a calcium scan or a heart scan, and it tells you the probability if you have plaque buildup in your arteries. So my grandfather, and I was in the best shape since college. I was running all the time. You know, but I figure my grandfather died when he was 50 of a heart attack. My dad had bypass surgery and a valve replacement. My mom had a small heart attack and had a stent put in. So I figured it's worth spending the $50. It was on sale at half price for this calcium scan. So it's just about an hour long. They take some blood tests, and then they do a lay down, do a scan. I mean, the nurse called me a few days later and said, "Mr. Pollard, they got your score back, and your score was 1100, and we recommend you go see your cardiologist or your
doctor."
And I'm like, "Well, I don't have a cardiologist." And I Googled calcium score, and a score of 400 means you have a 90% chance of having plaque buildup in your arteries. And my score was 1100.
Holy smokes.
So I had no idea. So I called a friend of mine who's an enabler, who's a cardiologist, and Dr. Chung, my calcium score is 1100. He goes, "Why don't you come see me this week?" And we go in there, and he says, "Something's not wrong. Normally they'll have you do a stress test." And he goes, "I just want to go ahead and do a catheterization and see what's going on." So I got a catheterization done, and I was 80% blocked in an artery. He put 3 stents in.
Wow.
So a week later, I was running again, and I asked him, I said, you know, his name's Dr. June Chung. I said, "June, if I hadn't gotten this calcium scan, what would have happened?" He goes, "You probably would have had a heart attack at some point." So I got these stents. It didn't slow me down. I kept running. And then in 14 and 15, I did the Richmond Half Marathon. I think I did the Petersburg Half Marathon too. And then in 20, that was 2014 and 15. In 2016, I ran the Richmond Marathon. And in 2017, I ran the half marathon. So that's just, you know, the marathon's the longest I've run. But during that time, I was pretty active and, you know, doing half marathons in that one marathon. And then in 2017, I started having trouble. I was having to stop every few minutes when I ran to catch my breath. And it just didn't feel, this time it didn't feel right.
So okay.
I called my cardiologist back, and we did a stress test and another catheterization, and I was 90% blocked in another artery. So he put another stent in. He told me that we need to keep an eye on your aortic valve because that's getting calcified. Wow. So I had another stent. I kept running again. So, you know, we took care of that issue, and I thought I was pretty much done with it. And I'll come back to that in a second. But at that point, that's when F3 came into my life in 2016. And for the listeners who don't know what F3 is, it's a men's free peer-led outdoor workout group that started in Charlotte in 2011 by two guys, and it stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. And it's grown from that first workout. We're now in, I think, 58 states, 5 continents, and in the United States, we have over 4,000 weekly workouts, you know, throughout the United States. And our workouts, usually from Monday through Friday, are from 5:30 to 6:15. The idea is you get a workout in before you put, kids to school, before you go to work. And most of our workouts are boot camp style workouts. We do a lot of push-ups, sit-ups, burpees. We do some running. And on Saturdays, we do them from 7 to 8. So I started doing that. It's a great bunch of guys from different ages, different fitness levels, different vocations, different backgrounds. And in Hampton Roads, we now have 22 workouts. And since 2016, I've been very active in it. And I probably go to 3 to 5 early morning workouts a week through F3. And then, of course, Mike's F3 name is Hot Mike. When you go to F3, when you go to your first workout, you get a nickname. You tell them your background, and they come up with a nickname. They call me Funny Car, and we call Mike Hot Mike. Great group. You know, in F3, we have 5 core principles. Our workouts are free, open to all men, held outdoors, peer-led, and we end what we call the circle of trust. So the faith part, we're not tied to a religious organization. The faith part is that we believe in something beyond ourselves. So at the end of the workout, whoever leads the workout shares something that's on his heart, either, you know, a quote, a Bible verse, or anything. And then we take prayer requests in with prayer, and we go on our way, you know, start our days. And it's just been a big part of my life, a great bunch of guys, and it's helped me keep in shape and meet a bunch of great guys at the same time, and help, you know, build, you know, leadership skills, and help with my faith aspects also.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like a hidden benefit from it all is the heart issues, you know, and dealing with your heart and everything. It sounds like it's been a good way to stay active and fit. And for those that don't know Funny Car, Bill's a beast, man. This dude at 61 years old, you would never guess watching him do a workout that he's 61. You'd think somewhere in his 40s.
I appreciate it. And the great thing about it is you can be in any fitness level. You know, if you can't do something, you just modify. You know, our credo is leave no man behind, leave no man where you find him. So, you know, we've had guys show up who just couldn't even run 50 yards, but they just modify as needed. And we've seen guys lose weight, get in better shape. And, you know, you can be in any fitness level to come out. We have guys in their 70s who work out with us, and, you know, guys, teenagers come out. So it's a whole range of them. And we do a lot of other fun things. Like we did the Blue Ridge Relay, but before that, for about 3 or 4 years, we always ran in the Colonial Relay. I don't know, are you familiar with the Colonial Relay?
That's the one in Williamsburg, right?
Well, it went
used
from
to be Charlotte, on the Capitol Hill, on the Capitol Trail, right?
Yeah, it went from Charlottesville to Williamsburg. So it was 200 miles, a relay run, anywhere from 4 to 12 runners. We usually had about 10 to 12. And each guy, you know, probably did anywhere from 15 to 26 miles from Friday morning at 6 o'clock to Saturday around 1 o'clock. So we did that several times, which was fun. And then COVID sort of stopped that one. And then this year, you and I and the other, 8 guys did the Blue Ridge Relay, which was a lot of fun, but it was tough. I mean, I think
what was a tough one.
What did you do, 26 miles?
30, just like 30 something, just shy of a 50K.
Yeah. And you had some tough legs too. I think all of yours were pretty much the steepest climbs.
I tried. I asked for him. Yeah, Piglet had the toughest leg, and he absolutely crushed it. That was wild watching him do that one, 9-minute miles.
Yeah, and for the listeners, you know, we we had a team of nine. So we had two vans, and each run of the legs were from 3 to 10 miles, I think, with a different one. So one van would take a runner to a, you'd have stations in between each leg where you drop off your runner and then you pick them up the next time, switch runners. And the other van goes out about 5 or 6 legs so guys can sleep and take it easy. But, you know, that was a fun time.
Absolutely. That I had more fun at that relay than probably any relays I've run before. It was just sharing with guys, and it was so much fun. It was just, that was like, okay, I'm all in F3. And you'll love this. So this last Saturday, I went to my first boot camp.
I saw that. I was in Newport News, but I saw you went to Mount Trashmore.
They like to kill me, man. I'm like, I kept asking, can we just go run 100 miles? Because that would be a whole lot easier than this, man. Oh my gosh, man, that was a workout.
What were y'all doing?
Let's see if I can remember all of them. So it was that one where you go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, and then we were supposed to go 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, and you had five things that you did. So we did, with the coupons, we did curls and then lunges, and then you had a partner and you laid on your back and you did leg raises and they pushed them down, you know, but you had to control the going down, so, which is a great core workout. And then jump rope, and what was the fifth thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so they wanted you to go upside down and do wall push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'll be modifying that one because I don't want to embarrass myself trying to do a handstand even against a wall. So they told me I could do, what did they call them, something, push off against the wall, and they had a word for it.
Yeah, you know, we have nicknames for so many exercises.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's funny, we've had a bunch of guys come out who are runners but don't do the cardio and the body exercises, and they're in good shape, but they start coming to these first few workouts, and it sort of kicks their butt a little bit, you know, because they're not used to doing cardio stuff, you know, the strength stuff. And, you know, and I think they enjoy it. And for the listeners, when you heard Hot Mike say coupons are cinder blocks. So some workouts will say bring your coupon, and we'll do a lot of workouts with cinder blocks, which is about 35 pounds. And, you know, we do curls and chest presses and a whole range of stuff. So we get some, you know, have some weight, and not at every exercise, you know, probably about 50% of them.
Yeah. And the reason I started doing the boot camps, because I'm in great running shape. I can, run. Yeah. I can go run forever, you know. But one of the things that I noticed is my anaerobic conditioning was not where I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, if I can build my anaerobic conditioning, my cardiovascular conditioning, how far could I run? Mm-hmm. And so that got me thinking. And I met with Funny Car. I had lunch with him. And, yeah, we just kind of talked about the boot camp and what it could do for me. And then I talked with Ultra, who is another crazy ultra runner. That's how he got his name. And we talked about it, and he's in tremendous shape. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go all in 2025 and build a different type of conditioning that I hadn't really been paying attention to. But, you know, when you think about ultra running, everything, if you don't have a strong core, you're going to get what we call the leans. And right. If you go to like the long races and everything, you'll see people that are leaning. They'll either lean left, right, or they'll lean forward. And it's because their core is totally gone and they have no core strength to be able to straighten themselves back up. And so they're just moving with this lean that is, you can tell how uncomfortable it is. And so I was like, I'm getting older. I just turned 60. I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm leaning. Well, the only way I'm going to do that is if I have good core strength. And I might as well throw a better cardiovascular and anaerobic fitness in there too as I get older, so that I can continue to do the crazy things that I like to do.
Yeah.
So F3 totally fits the bill.
Yeah. On Saturdays in Hampton Roads, we have five, you know, workouts at Mount Trashmore, we call Stinkhill, and in Newport News, in North Suffolk, and Norfolk, and in Franklin. So I try to rotate. I try to go to a different Saturday one. You know, I'm just me and my wife, and I'm pulled in the middle of Hampton Roads at Western Branch. So I try to go to a different one because I like seeing the different guys, you know, the different workout styles. But for the listeners, for the men, you know, check out F3. Just Google F3, or it's www.f3nation.com. And there's probably a workout near you. We call it posting to go to work. I've probably posted it over 30 workouts in other cities and states because it's, you know, you can go to any workout. And then for the ladies, there's an organization called FIA, stands for Females in Action. And that's equivalent of F3. It's not as we have a few of them in Hampton Roads, but it's the same principles. Outdoor early morning workout for ladies, FIA. You can find out information about them on the website.
Yeah, phenomenal. So, Bill, where do you see F3 in Hampton Roads going from here? Because it's growing a lot. I mean, didn't it? What year did it start? Was it 2018 that it started up here?
2016. We started in November 5th. I went to my first workout. A buddy told me about it. So I went to the first one in Western Branch. Here's our second one in the end of November. And we had two workouts then. We started growing, and then we have 22. COVID really helped us. We continued the workout, and guys couldn't go to the gym anymore, so they started coming to F3, and they started telling their buddies. You know, the idea is our workouts, we'll have anywhere from 3 to 20 guys show up. And the idea is once you start getting around 20 guys, that's almost getting too many. So we'll create a new workout location to give guys different options. But in Hampton Roads now, we have every day we have at least 3 workouts, either in Virginia Beach or Newport News or in Suffolk, Western Branch. And they're not all boot camps. As you know, Mike, some of them are running. Like Sunday morning is just a running workout that you go to quite often.
Yep.
And either guys run, or another big thing in F3 is rucking, where you all carrying a backpack with a rucksack with usually around 30 pounds. So that's a big thing we do in F3 also.
It's getting really popular, the rucking part of it. So
Yeah, we have these things in F3 called grow rucks, and I've done 3 of them. And it's pretty much you start Saturday evening around 5 o'clock, and you have a rucksack you have to have a 30 pound weight, plus your water, your food, your, you know, extra supplies. So you're probably carrying around 40, 45 pounds. And you ruck from, you do a bunch of exercises, work on, you know, what you're going to do that night. And then you ruck pretty much from 8 o'clock Saturday night until about 8 o'clock Sunday morning.
Wow.
Overnight. And during that time, during that ruck, we also are carrying maybe buckets of water or kettlebells. We're also taking turns carrying different weights. So you end up rucking about anywhere from 15 to 20 miles, about 14 hours. We also, at one point, for about 5 miles, we get these big, heavy logs that take about 8 to 10 guys to carry, and we carry those. It's probably physically and mentally the hardest thing I've ever done from an exercise standpoint. I've done them in Richmond. I did one in Washington, D.C., which is pretty cool because we were carrying logs at 4 o'clock in the morning along the National Mall.
Wow.
And then I did one in last November in Wilmington, Willie, Carolina Beach. And you don't carry a watch. You can't carry your phone. You have platoon leaders. You have no idea what time it is. And probably from midnight till 8 o'clock in the morning, it was cold, rainy, and windy.
Wow.
It was pretty. It was pretty brutal.
It sounds like Navy SEAL Hell Week. The end of Hell Week. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm sure. Like, what's the race y'all doing? You'll be doing in February. The
Swami Shuffle. Yep.
So I'm sure you'll get some rain. You probably get some rain doing that race.
Oh no, we're gonna have perfect weather this year. There's not gonna be There's not going to be any wind. There's not going to be any rain. It's going to be like high 40s, low 50s the whole time. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I kept up a little bit last year with Ultra. This is before I met you. And, you know, that's another neat thing about F3 is you meet these guys. For example, when Ultra came out, I know he's been on your podcast. He wouldn't have known anyone. And there are a few guys he's become very close friends with through F3 who run together. They've been and helped him in his Ultra races. You know, the idea behind it is the workout gets you out. And then once you get out, you make your friendships, and then, you know, and then you build on the other parts of it.
I mean, talk a little bit about your faith journey and, you know, how F3 has, you know, helped build your faith journey.
Yeah, I was on 2016, and a year before that, I had changed employers. A sort of, it was unexpected, wasn't expecting to have to make the change. It was a pretty down time for me, but, you know, it worked out for the best. You know, the good Lord has a plan for us, and, you know, I had to go through a little tough time to get to where I am now. And F3 started about a year after that. And again, I had gotten to a point where I'd run a lot by myself. It worked out by myself, and, you know, I played some basketball, but I was, you know, raising a daughter and trying to be a good husband. But I had lost a lot of contacts with a lot of my male friends. But at that same time, I was trying to, you know, build on my faith, trying to become a little bit stronger believer. And again, F3 is not a religious organization, but it helped me in that journey, because I'm with a bunch of guys and pray for each other. And, you know, we do share some of that belief in the workouts. But again, we have some guys who come to workouts and they're not comfortable saying a prayer. They get someone else to do it. And so, you know, that's the nice thing about it, is just you have that experience with guys from different beliefs, different principles. So that's helped in that part of it.
Yeah, that's why I like that it's faith. It's not, you know, religion. It's not, you know, a doctrine. It's just, you got to have faith in something higher than yourself, or you're not going to make it in this life. And so it's a great focus. And it's a fun organization, and the guys are fun, you know. Like this morning, I didn't set an alarm thinking I would wake up and make it out to boot camp this morning. I didn't make it. I got there about 6. And so I was razzed and called the princess and, you know, the beauty queen and all that stuff. And I loved it. I was like, okay, you know what? This is my kind of group, you know? I mean, it's not, oh, bummer, man, you didn't get up on time. It's like, oh, you princess, you know, get out of bed. They called me something too, and I can't remember what the name they used. It's got to be one of those F3 names.
Usually when I go, I'm depending which location I go to, I'm usually getting up at 4:30. Yep. You know, the workout begins at 5:30. So, you know, I'm not rushing to get there. And, you know, I just adjust my schedule accordingly. But, you know, you also talk about, you know, the friendship part, the faith part. But, you know, also through F3, we believe that it helps men become, hopefully we help guys become better fathers, better husbands, better friends, you know, better workers, and just, you know, get more ingrained and being good community leaders. So you have that leadership aspect of it also, because workouts, you know, we're peer led. So guys take turns leading workouts, and whoever leads the workout, they're in charge, and we do what they tell us to do. Right.
Yeah. And it's good stuff, man. I highly recommend, if there's, you know, some guys that are listening to this, and, you know, because one of the things that when you're a long distance runner, you end up doing a lot of things all on your own.
Right.
You know, the speeds aren't the same, the distances aren't the same. And so you end up doing a lot of miles and a lot of time out there by yourself. And what's been really refreshing about, you know, going out to the F3 workouts that I've gone out to so far is that, you know what, it's like you're finding a tribe. I think I came home and I told my wife one time, I said, you know, I like this. This is my tribe. This is guys that, you know, they don't care how fast or slow you go, how much you can or cannot lift, you know, what workouts you can or cannot do. It's encouraging. It's people who are getting together and being accountable to each other to, hey, let's pursue fitness. And while we're doing that, let's be guys together, because that's going to make us stronger as guys. And like you said, help us to be better husbands, fathers, business leaders, all the things that we have in our lives. When you're around other guys and you realize you're not going this Lone Ranger, it makes you a better guy.
Some people say it sounds like a cult. Well, it isn't, but if it is, it's a good one.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I haven't had to drink any Kool-Aid yet, so I'm pretty jazzed about it. It's good
Well, to
stuff.
get back, so now I've talked about F3, I'll finish my heart story.
Yeah.
So in 2018, I was doing F3 3 to 4 days a week, still running. At that point, I was probably running 3 to 5 times a week. I had the stents put in two arteries. It was in, I think, May of 2017 is when I had the second stents. So in 2018, probably like around February, March, I noticed I was having breathing problems again. And he had told me, we had to keep an eye on my aortic valve, but we thought that was years down the road. So probably around, I don't know, March, April, May, around that time, it got to the point after every minute when I ran, and I'm not a fast runner, I'd have to stop and catch my breath. So I called my cardiologist and we did another stress test and he said, it looks okay. So we just kept plugging along. And then it was in August. I also go to the YMCA sometimes and some guys had asked me to play basketball. So this was in August. So I played and I ran up the court, ran up and down the court pretty fast a few times. And I thought I was having a heart attack. I mean, I couldn't breathe. I had to
Wow.
lay down. So I called my cardiologist again. I told him something is not right. I said, I'm just, I just can't breathe. I can't, even in F3, I had to stop and walk a lot of the times because I was just couldn't catch my breath. So he goes, well, let's do another catheterization. And we go in there and he said, your aortic valve has gotten extremely calcified. He goes, it's been a rapid deterioration of it since, a year or so ago. And he said, also your valve, if aortic valve pushes blood, through your heart. So blood's going out. And he said, your valve is also bicuspid. So 2% of the population have a bicuspid valve, meaning you have two leaflets that push the blood through instead of three. Most people have three.
Yeah.
And you can live your whole life with a bicuspid valve and never know it. Well, mine was bicuspid, but the problem with the bicuspid is once you start getting calcification, it gets worse quicker. It just makes the problems happen that much faster. So he said that needs to be replaced. So I met with a heart surgeon, Maryview Hospital, Bon-Secours here in Portsmouth. Guy named Robert Lancey, who's a runner, and he looked at it and he said, "Yeah, your aortic valve needs to be replaced now."
Wow.
So I met with him in September, and we scheduled the surgery in for October 15th. And that surgery is open heart surgery. So they, put me under, they cut open my chest, they hooked me up to a heart lung machine. So my heart is now being blood is going through this heart lung machine, and they replace your aortic valve. So I think I went in around 7 o'clock. It was a Monday morning. The surgery lasted about 4 or 5 hours. He put in a bovine valve. He needed to get a mechanical valve or an animal part. I didn't want a mechanical valve, even though that lasts pretty much forever. You have to do some special dieting and really, you have to be a little bit more careful because you're on some warfarin and other medication. So I got a bovine valve, which hopefully should last 10 to 15 years. I'm going to have it replaced at some point. But I woke up that afternoon and I had tubes coming out of my chest and wires coming out of my neck. And I can't tell you it felt like I'd been hit by a bus. It was just,
Wow.
I saw my wife there, and the next day I was in the hospital for 5 days. The next day they had me walking two or three times down the hallway. When I say walking, you know, it's about as slow of a walk you can go and not very far. But every day I got a little bit stronger and went home on a Friday, and I was out of work for 6 weeks as a, you know, as I recovered. And, you know, I would walk every day. And you talk about F3. So, you know, I felt like because of F3, I was pretty strong physically, spiritually, and mentally going into this surgery. I mean, I don't think I could have been in any better shape from those three aspects. And I had a strong recovery. I walked 13 days after surgery. I walked over a mile outdoors. It was in November. It was a nice November day. And then one day, I think this was 33 days after surgery. It was a nice day. So I didn't tell my wife. I went outside and I had my running shoes, but I put on some shorts and I ran 2 miles.
Wow.
34 days. And when I say ran, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, a slow jog. And I ran 2 miles. And I'm like, I was in tears when I finished that run because I knew that I was going to be okay. And I think 41 days after surgery, I ran 6 miles, you know, a lot of walking, running, you know, walking, slow jog. And then I started going to F3 about 50 days after surgery. And I couldn't do anything with my chest for about 3 months because, you know, it had been cut open. So I couldn't do push-ups and anything with my chest. But I would go out and just modify. I couldn't do as much. I'd do a lot of squats and walking and some slow jogs. But I just wanted to be with the guys and, you know, have that part of it. And, you know, I attribute F3 to my ability to have a strong recovery. And I did my first grow ruck 5 months after surgery.
Wow.
I had no idea how hard that was going to be. You know, my doctor and my wife knew what I was doing. You know, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it, but the whole time the guys were just making sure I was okay. And, you know, making sure I didn't need anything. I wasn't overdoing it. And then I think I ran a 10K about 8 months after surgery. I did a half marathon 16 months after the surgery. So I've been blessed that, you know, be able to do what I can to today, having to go through all that.
Definitely. That is a great story, man. That's awesome. Congratulations too. I mean,
thanks.
You're knocking them dead, man. I mean, it's, you're just out there doing things that most people probably would have given up and just gone, okay, I had heart surgery. Yeah, let's end life. And you're out there proving that you can still do great things.
You know, my message is, because I've read about a few big-time runners, athletes, you know, like professional levels, you know, guys have died of heart attacks who, you know, were in great shape and very competitive runners because they had no idea they had a problem. You know, my message to folks is, you know, if you have high cholesterol, you have a family history of heart disease, well, something's not feeling right, don't assume everything's okay. You know, get checked out, because you just never know what's going on inside sometimes, especially if you have the risk factors for heart disease. I've had several people go get that calcium scan, and I think most of them have been okay. But there've been a few who said, yeah, I had an issue, and we had, you know, they had to address that.
That's awesome. I've never even heard of the calcium test. Might have to look at it someday. Who knows? Mm-hmm. That's totally cool. Well, Bill, you know, we end the podcast. You know, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So when you hear the phrase living an ultra life, what's kind of the first thought that pops into your head?
Well, obviously I'm not an ultra runner, but I just think about pushing yourself. You don't have to be the fastest. You don't have to be the strongest, but, you know, the good Lord gave us his body. We need to take care of it. And, you know, by exercising, you know, if you can't run, you can walk. You don't have to lift, you know, the most weight. Just do something to take care of your body. And also, and this is what I struggle with, is what you put into your body too. You know, you got to be careful of what you're eating, what you're drinking. And, you know, you can have fun, but you know, you and I can work out and run every day, but if we're eating a bunch of crap, it's
not doing a whole lot of good, is it?
Not doing a whole lot of good.
Yeah.
That's something I continue to struggle with, and you know, I just need to make a better effort on that.
Amen. Right there with you, man. That is awesome. Well, Funny Car, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. This has been awesome, and I can't wait to see you out there at the next workout. I won't be there this Saturday. A bunch of us crazies are going to go down and run on the Outer Banks for, you know, 30, 40 miles.
Yes,
yeah,
I
just a
worked
little
out with
short run.
One, and he told me y'all were doing that. So,
yeah.
So, and now the listeners know that your F3 name is Hot Mike.
There you go. Thank you, Funny Car. You are awesome. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.